Production. Recorded live.
That is foretold in the Mayan calendar, the Chinese oracle of the I Ching, even an internet-based prophetic software program. 2012, a date that is prophesied as the end of the world. But is there any science behind this dire prediction? Could ancient oracles truly predict the future? The answer could affect us all, because history shows a surprisingly good track record for those who say doomsday is almost here.
One thing. It's time for some Double Talk Radio. Double Talk Radio. Now, live from our studios in Pennsylvania, USA, and Ontario, Canada, here are your hosts, Violet and Double K.
Indeed. It's Tuesday night.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's Tuesday night, and I can only mean one thing. It is time for some Double Talk Radio, and I am joined, as always, by, Violet.
Hello.
Hi. And, of course, Scotty, the producer.
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, Scotty.
Hey,
Beat
hey.
Me up, Scotty.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic,
hey, you know,
but I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking, guys?
What?
I should have taken the Evelyn Woods speed reading contest because that chat room is just a flying tonight.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
It's filling up. This is going to be good tonight.
Man, We've got a lot of people in the house tonight, and it's filling up quick. If you're listening to us on live stream, join the chat room. If you want to call the show tonight, 1-724-444-7444, 58563. Hit the pound key, and you're in. We are joined by some special guests tonight. Violet, want to tell us about it?
Yes. Well, since this is our 2012 special, I invited a gentleman from a website that actually I found while I was looking at Twitter. They have the trending topics. And I found his tweet and got a little curious. And he has a website. It's 2012hoax.org. And he believes that it's all a big scam. And his website, which is quite extensive, it has a lot of proof. And if you read it, it's very, very interesting, actually. And that's why wanted to have on the show, and I thought it would be a perfect time to do it now, because, you know, everybody's talking about the end of the world, so to speak, in December of 2012. So, and with all these shows coming on History Channel, with that, the Nostradamus effect and all that, I thought it'd be interesting to have Bill Hudson, and I believe he's the creator of this website, along with some other people, and I thought it'd be interesting to have him and his take on the whole thing, and see why he believes it's all a hoax or a fraud and a con job, as he says on his website.
Looking forward to hearing about it, for sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And we've also got show regular Gartex, who's going to throw some stuff in for us tonight as well. So I'm looking forward to, I've been looking forward to the show for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And judging by the response in the room, so has everyone else.
Yes.
Wow.
See that.
So, what else is up, guys? What, how's the week going so far?
So far, so good.
Yeah, it's going pretty good.
Nothing exciting?
I went and saw 2012 yesterday.
Yes,
there's a brand new state of the art theater that opened up near my office, and so I decided to go check the movie out there. Apparently, they have great sound, which they do. So, and I'll be telling you what I think of the film in a little bit.
Momentarily.
Yes, momentarily.
Very quickly, because I know we don't have a lot of time tonight, and I have to confess, I fell asleep last night. Sorry, Mike. During the Browns game. I couldn't watch it. But what happened in the pool, Violet?
Well, what happened in the pool is the three of us meaning you and Scotty and I, ended up tying.
Impossible.
A three-way tie.
Impossible.
We all got 7 games.
It's madness.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How could Scotty win as many games as us?
Well, he was in the lead, but Scotty made the mistake of forgetting about the Monday night game again.
Scott, there is always a Monday yeah. night game.
And he picked New England
to win,
and you and I had picked, because you and I were in a tie for a second, you and I picked the Colts to win, and he had picked New England to win. And New England pulled through for us last minute. And we both
that was a
the
great
Monday night game,
wasn't it? We were on the air, and we were all trying to end the show to go and watch the end of the game. And somehow, the cable in Pittsburgh comes through about 30 seconds sooner than the cable in Canada, because I'm watching, and Peyton Manning's about to snap. He hasn't even snapped the ball yet. He hasn't even smacked his center's butt. And Violet is crying, touchdown. Unbelievable.
That's funny. That's bad.
So we're gonna set something up around here, and if any of you in the room want to get in on it, I'm gonna have a bunch of friends over one night, and we're gonna like be betting. You know, you throw loonies on the carpet and you bet. You know, uh-huh. Is it gonna be a pass? Is it gonna be a run? Will it be a fumble? You know that old game.
Right.
Violet's gonna be in my earphone on my iPod or my iPhone, and she's gonna be telling me what's gonna happen. And I'm an honest person, folks, but it seems like a get rich quick scheme. I'm telling you. It's against my better judgment to do this, but I'm thinking Christmas is coming soon, and you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
Violet, I'm going to give you 35 seconds to welcome all the people in this room.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, let's see here. We've got DJ Chris, who has been listening to our show a few times. He's been in the chat room with us. Then we also have guest 8. I don't know guest 8's name or where you're from, but if you want to tell us, we always like to know who our guests are. And then we have guest 11. And, okay, well, great. Guest 8 is Gary. Then we have guest 11. And we have Kate Sherrod. Did I say that correctly, Kate? I hope I did. Then, of course, we have Isbia, also known as Mrs. K, and then, of course, Winston. And then we have Logan, and Logan has a show on Talk Show also. He has 2 shows, one on Saturday night and one on Sunday night. The one on Saturday night is called Logan's Run the Podcast. I'm sorry, Logan's Run the Stargate Edition. And that's run on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central. And on Sunday, he's got Logan's Run the Podcast. And that's also, again, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central. The show ID for both shows is the same, which is 49899. And if you guys don't know, the Saturday show is mainly about the show on Sci-Fi Channel called the Stargate Edition, or the Stargate Universe, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. And then Logan's show on Sunday night, he talks about, he does reviews on games and movies and things like that, and it's pretty interesting, especially if you're into gaming. Logan and his co-hosts are all big gamers, so you'll get some really great information there. And after that, we've got, we've got Metal Chick, who's been in our the last couple of weeks has been in our show, so welcome back. Then we have Mike Lusler, who also has a show on TalkShoe. His show is called Open Mic, Insert Foot. His show ID is 10038, and he used to have that show three times a week, but now he has it on Sunday nights at 9:01 p.m. Eastern Time. So, let me see, who else do we have here? This is quite a big room tonight.
Getting parched yet, or what?
A little bit.
It's going to take till 9:30 to announce the room.
And then, of course, we've got our special guest, Bill Hudson, from 2012hoax.org, and he jumped up on me, so I skipped him. Sorry about that. Then we've got guest 10, and guest 10, if you'd like to let us know who you are and where you're from, you don't have to, but we always like to know who our guests are. Then we've got Gartex, who's a regular listener, and tonight he is also a special guest. And Gartex co-hosts with Logan on Logan's show, Logan's Run the Podcast, and I think you co-host on the Stargate Edition as well. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. And then we've got, we had guest 9, and then we've got Blaze.
Just tell the truth. Gartex goes to whoever's show they'll let him on.
Well, he's got a lot of interesting things to say. So.
He's awesome. I'm just teasing. You know I love him. Anyway, go ahead.
And last, we've got Western Pennsylvania. So, and that's that for the room tonight.
Did you say hi to Scotty yet?
Scott, yes, I did.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, welcome everyone. You're listening to Double Talk Radio, heard 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkShoe. You can go on the homepage. Scotty will put it up there for you, doubletalk.bigbig.com, for all you folks who are listening. Email us any ideas or comments for the show, kklive.radio@yahoo.com. We're on Twitter, Double Talk Radio. Join the Double Talk Radio on Facebook. And I think that's about it. So before we bring the guests in, and you say Gartex wants to come in and speak about the movie. So mm-hmm. I'm going to bring Gartex in first. How's my buddy down in Texas doing?
Hello.
Hey, Gartex.
Hey, Gartex.
What's up?
Welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
You know we're just rising, yeah, Gartex?
Oh, I know that. That's why I come here.
Our favorite freelancer of all. So to start off, tonight, Violet, you went to go see 2012, the movie. What a better movie to see for this show than that. Why don't you take us through? Are you throwing spoilers or not?
No, I'm not going to be giving out any spoilers. Since it just came out, I know there's a lot of people out there who sometimes like to wait a week or so after the movie's come out to go see it to, you know, miss all the crowds. So I don't want to give any spoilers out. Basically, I'm just going to give my take on the whole movie, just kind of like I did with Paranormal Activity. So,
go for it.
Yeah.
I'm all
so
ears.
I went to see the movie yesterday, which I'm glad I did because it gave me about 24 hours to think about it and reflect on the whole thing. You know, entertainment-wise, it's a great movie. Logan says perfect waste of money. I mean, it's really entertaining. I wouldn't say, you know, go see the movie and believe what they say. I mean, obviously you're sitting there watching the movie and it's, you know, over-dramatized and all this and all that. So kind of like the first few scenes of the movie kind of reminded me of the very first Indiana Jones, you know, in the first scene of Indiana Jones where they're running through the cave and the big rock is following them and they're trying to get away from it. And a lot of the beginning part of the movie was that, being chased by, you know, the earth falling. So, or California falling into the ocean, as everybody predicts one of these days is supposed to do. But, you know. But, you know my whole take on the whole 2012 thing. I mean, I think it's going to be another Y2K. It's just going to be, you know, we're going to wake up on December 22nd and go about our own business that we always do. So, but, you know, I thought it was a fun movie. It's a fun movie. I wouldn't say it's a great movie, but it's definitely a fun, entertaining movie, a lot of action. There were some things in the movie I felt that didn't really need to be there, but they added it anyway. So I hope people don't see the movie and think, oh, my God, this is exactly what's going to happen. Because, to be honest with you, if there is going to be such a thing as the end of the world, I don't think it's going to happen the way the movie portrays it. So.
But should we go and see it?
Yeah. I mean,
is it a fun ride? Or?
Yeah, it's a fun ride.
You know me.
It's not going to win any Academy Awards. And if you want to go have a good time and be entertained, then it's a great movie for that. But, I mean, if you're going to try to find answers about what's going to happen in December of 2012, that's not the movie for it. Because, you know, you watch the movie, and obviously it's way over-dramatized, and they're just making everything bigger than it, you know, it should be just because, you know, it's that kind of movie.
Okay, now listen. I want to hear more about the movie, and I want to get to Gartex in just a second, but can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Who in their right mind takes out a cat?
Takes out a cat?
Scotty has left the show to go take out his cat. Now, is it because I'm Canadian, or do people normally take out the cat?
I didn't even notice that.
Sorry, back to the movie.
The
go
cat,
ahead, guys.
No. He's probably taking the cat out of the room because, for some reason, this cat likes to meow a lot. Like,
all
he
right,
feeds the cat, and then 5 minutes later, after the cat finished eating, the cat will come back and ask for more food.
Okay. That's when you get
I'm
rid
sorry.
Of the cat.
Yes,
well,
I agree. Should someone shoot the cat?
Yeah.
My maybe 2012 will be the complete annihilation of all cats.
Oh, come on.
Scotty, who takes their cat out to the backyard to go to the bathroom? Come.
No, I put it in a way that was... How can I put this? I didn't want to be mean to anybody else in the room who liked cats instead of, I could have said, you know, I'm going to take my cat out and beat the crap out of it, but that would have been bad. So,
wow. Okay.
If you hear,
back to the
if
movie.
You hear, back to the movie.
I hate cats, and I would not even do that, Scotty.
I don't like them either, man. I'm right there with you.
So if you hear my cat yelling and screaming,
you
and I just listen for a
minute. You are listening to the 2012 special, and we are talking about cats.
Cats.
Right.
In 2012.
Right, exactly.
Those
no,
are the only
so,
things left, them and roaches.
Okay, so back to the movie.
Back to the
back
movie.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, Gartex, what did you think about it? You saw it.
I mean, I'm gonna have to ride the same, rail as you are because, I mean, it was fun. It was a good experience to go watch it. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, if you're looking for accuracy in any way, it's not that movie to see. In fact, they only mentioned, you know, the Mayans, I think maybe twice, and they were even small bits, you know,
right.
in it. So most of it was just watching the earth crumble. And you know, so if you ever want to watch what, you know, what it would be like to destroy the planet, that's a great movie to go see. And
right.
You know, if I'm
correct
ever
me
in
if
trouble,
I'm wrong, guys.
Go ahead.
Can I not just do that by watching Barack Obama continue in his ways?
Oh.
Yes. That's okay. A slow way to do it. This is a good, if you want to get it out of the way in two and a half hours, go see this movie.
So it's Obama on Red Bull.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So, there were some really great scenes in it, and if I ever need to run away from an earthquake, I'm calling John Cusack to drive me everywhere I need to go. but I'm telling you, man, but the special effects were really, really awesome.
Yeah, they were.
It was really, really cool. I say go see it just for the special effects, just to go watch it for that.
Right.
You know, it did lack in some areas. Like, I put on Facebook was that you're going to find yourself rooting for some. Then you're going to find yourself wishing other people would just get thrown off. And, you know, there are some parts in there that I looked at and I went, man, if I was in that position, that would make me bawl, you know. Because there's a part in there that was really, really cool that hit me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just what would happen if you have to say goodbye to people and you're
right.
in that spot, you know. So
yeah.
it is a roller coaster. You can go from one end to the other, but it is not a movie that's going to win any awards, and it is not an accurate portrayal of the end of the earth at all.
I agree. Gartek, not at all.
The only person that I want to say goodbye to is my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
I know. I'm just
that's
teasing.
Mean.
She knows I love her.
Isn't your bride on too?
Yeah, so, you know, for people out there who are wondering if they should go see this movie, absolutely, but don't take it seriously. It's purely entertainment and entertainment only. I mean, don't sit there and start, you know, I know there's some people out there who really believe in this whole thing with the end of the world, and, you know, I think we'll hear more of it as the, you know, next year, the year after, but it's purely entertainment, and if, you know, the world's supposed to end, I don't think that's how it's going to be.
No,
I think it'll be
a lot more,
what's the word I'm using? I'm looking for, subtle.
Yeah. The one thing I do want to say is I do not think Woody Harrelson was acting in that. I do think he's that crazy. So you're going to have to see that to check that out.
Yeah, he was great.
Woody Harrelson was in it?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got to go see it.
Yeah.
Is he shooting baskets, or what is he doing?
You'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, just go check it out. His character is really, really funny, you know.
Yeah,
not
very
comedic
funny,
but just, yeah, he's a very interesting guy.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there you have it, folks.
That's that.
2012, the movie.
The movie.
I still have yet to see it, so I can't weigh in on it. But I don't know. The highlights look good, so I'm just going to go see it for a fun movie, though.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how it should be seen, just for fun.
I'm here
tonight
to get my answers.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, are we ready to bring in Bill?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, folks, well, we've been promising it for a long time, and it is time indeed. Let's go into our 2012 End of the World. I can get this working here. Joining us on the line right now is Bill Hudson from 2012hoax.org. Bill, welcome to Double Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. That's a great little promo. That's from the that's from one of the Discovery Channel shows, isn't it?
Yes,
the,
it is. Yeah.
History Channel. Yeah, yeah.
Just between me and you, Bill, I steal all my stuff from YouTube.
And yes, Gary has it right. It is Carmina Burana.
Just real quick, if there's anyone else that, if anyone wants to talk or call into the show while we have Bill and Gartek on the line, please hit the request to talk button and we will get to you as soon as possible. Just don't want to get the lines too cluttered tonight. I know there's a few people on hold, but if you feel like talking, please hit the that button there, and we will get you on the show for sure. So, Bill, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, and maybe a little bit about your website.
Okay, great. Well, I live a very pedestrian life. I'm an IT manager at a manufacturing company out here in California. In my spare time, I'm an amateur astronomer, and I have been for about 10 years now. As part of my hobby, I really enjoy going out into the community, specifically into elementary school and middle school classrooms, and talking to kids about astronomy. And so I've been doing that for about 4 years. And as soon as I started doing that, I had a question and answer period at the end of each show. And as soon as I started doing that, I started getting questions about the end of the world. And, you know, first I kind of brushed them off, oh, that's not going to happen. But they kept coming back, and the kids kept getting more and more scared each year. So I started looking into it and asking some questions, and sure enough, I stumbled into this whole 2012 thing. So I hadn't really heard about it before then. So about 2 years ago, I started really investigating it, and I started writing an article on my personal blog, which is astrogeek.us. I started writing an article about 2012 and how I felt about this whole end-of-the-world rumor. And it got longer and longer and longer. And I think it hit about 8,000 words, and I finally said, you know, this is crazy. Nobody's going to read this. And so I got together with a few of my friends whom I'd met in my adventures, and we started the 2012hoax.org website. It's basically we took my very long article and we started breaking it out into various topics, and so I've been working on that pretty much full time. I don't think I've updated my personal blog in months. And I am, I guess you'd say, one of the principal authors. I do a lot of the editing on the website, but a lot of the material that I get comes from other people, contributors who both contribute directly to the website or help me out with proofing the material, fact-checking the material, people who are professionals in various fields. I have a friend of mine who's an archaeologist, a Mayan archaeologist, in fact, in Sweden. Johan Normark has helped me out quite a bit with a lot of the Mayan angle on it. And some of the other people, I have some astronomers, an astronomer at, I forget the name of the institution, it's in Connecticut, who's been helping me to upgrade some of the links on the website so that they're more more scholarly, instead of linking to Wikipedia every time. And they're just a bunch of people who are contributing to this thing basically around the clock. And, of course, now with the release of the movie, the whole awareness of this whole thing has jumped up, and we're getting around 2,000 hits a day. That's 2,000 unique visitors, not 2,000 paid views.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Wow. Now I really feel honored.
So, yeah, and looking at your website, it's very, very extensive. And that's what made me interested in the whole thing. And getting you on the show is because, you know, it's not just some teeny tiny little website that somebody's put together. I mean, it's, you can, you know, in reading it, I can tell that it's quite extensively researched.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have put a lot of work into it. I may be the primary author, the guy actually keying in the stuff to go on the webpage, but I cannot claim authorship of everything that's on there. There's a whole bunch of people who have put a lot of time and effort into making the site what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fabulous site. I mean, it's really, really detailed.
And did you notice what's missing?
Did I notice what's missing? Uh-oh, pop quiz.
Pop quiz. What's missing from 2012hoax.org?
An countdown timer.
An ad. There are no ads on the website.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even notice that. You're absolutely correct. There are no ads.
We make zero money from this website. As a matter of fact, it has cost me money out of my pocket personally, and, of course, it's cost a lot of people a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But we did that deliberately because as soon as you put an ad on the website, you know, they're all topic-based, and mm-hmm. it's going to key in on what people came to your website looking for, what the content of the website is. And so what's going to happen is it's going to start showing a bunch of ads for these 2012 doomsday sites.
Mm-hmm.
So we made that decision early on so that we wouldn't be sending any traffic their way.
Yeah,
now
I didn't even notice that was missing, are the ads. That's very, very interesting, absolutely. And actually, I received a follower recently who has a survival guide.
Yeah, there's a couple of those going around. I've actually ran into my third one. It's basically third version of just about the same thing. There's one that's like, you know, the official countdown, and then there's one that's, you know, 2012 contact or something like that, and then there was another one that I just ran across the other day. And if you look around on those websites, you soon discover they look the same, and the text sounds the same, and that's because they're pretty much all by the same guy, and they're all ClickBank websites, where basically what ClickBank is this electronic middleman where you can create this product and put it out there, and then people will sell it for you, and you pay them a commission. And so one of the websites that we ran into like that has actually an affiliates page on the first page. And so you go there, and it's all this thing about, yeah, this is going to be the biggest thing for the next 3 years, and you can make lots of money doing this, and we'll give you $33 a sale. It's just, like, disgusting.
Wow. But you know there's a lot of people out there who are probably clicking on that and probably buying into the membership. I noticed one of them, actually, I was trying to get one of them on the show tonight, and so I went on the website to try to find an email address of sorts, and couldn't, so I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll become a member. Well, much to my chagrin, I noticed that I had to pay like $30-something to be a member.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't.
Now, listen, though. Now, don't the people on the side of the argument that think the world is coming to an end know they can't take this money with them?
Well, you would think so, yes. So the question becomes, why do they want so much money? So that's a good question. Why do you want all this money since the world is going to end? I guess they're going
exactly.
to throw a big party.
I guess. All right.
Yeah.
And I'll go to the party, but I ain't checking out of here yet. I've said that before.
Right?
So
anyway, the biggest money grubber of all, I think, is probably Patrick Garrel. And he's, what is he? He's Belgian, I think he is.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah. And he's run. I heard a rumor that he actually wants to sue Roland Emmerich right now because he used his idea for the movie or something. That may just be a rumor. I don't know. But he is trying to set up this whole big foundation, and he wants to get public funding to build the survival site in Africa. And yeah, basically, like Gary says, he wants $1 billion. So.
Oh my.
So.
I mean, hey, if I'm going to build a survival site after they found water on the moon, I think that's where I'd be heading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill,
well,
wasn't there an article on your site that somebody wanted to get some money to do something in Spain? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, that's a different group. I just ran across that recently as well. I haven't really fleshed out that article, but thank you for looking through the website to find that. That was yet another group that wants to build a survival site in the Sierra Nevada mountains of Spain. I didn't even know that there were Sierra Nevada mountains in Spain, but apparently that's the name of them. And then basically staff it with a whole bunch of survivalist types and record a whole bunch of books on the microfilm and live underground for a couple of years.
Wow. Wow. Well, one site that I looked at, in fact, the one that I was looking at today, apparently when you pay the $37 a month membership, you get a step-by-step monthly action plan, how to survive cataclysmic events and terrorist attacks, monthly webinars with experts on every topic, Resources for members to acquire supplies, equipment, etc. Forum to network with like-minded people, up-to-date news, warnings, and alerts. Survival tactics, strategies, and must-dos. How to deal with medical emergencies without doctors and hospitals. Psychology needed to deal with fear, change, and crisis. Food storage, water purification, alternative energy sources. How to deal with current economical challenges. How to prepare for the worst and live for the best. So, according to the site, considering to the economic meltdown we've had over the past year, it is imperative that you begin your survival preparations now while you still have time.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the Obama administration survival guide.
Oh, boy.
He's probably behind it, isn't he? Anybody see an ear creeping around the corner?
But, you know, if it's supposed to be the end of the world, then why would you need a survival guide?
Exactly.
I don't know about
that. Good question. So, I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately.
Okay, so I have a question because I am trying to understand this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is the Mayan calendar saying is going to happen, and why is it so authoritative?
I can give you the answer in one word. Nothing. The Mayan calendar does not end in 2012.
Okay.
But yet everybody says it does.
Yep.
Right.
That's a modern rumor.
Uh-huh.
That actually started, I think that the author's name was Coe, C-O-E, who wrote a book back in the 1960s, I think it was 1966, Michael Coe. And he was the first one to propose that the Mayan calendar ended on that date. Let me back up a second and describe the Mayan calendar. If you go to the 2012hoax.org on the navigation page, you'll see the second, third, and fourth links are Y2012, Mayan calendar, and Mayan prediction.
Right.
And I go through step by step and explain this. But basically, there's a modern belief that the Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012. And that's based on the fact that the long count calendar rolls over to a new series on that date. We think, and let me emphasize that, we think, because there's not real good information as far as what the correlation between our dates and their dates are. The most commonly accepted one among scholars is something called the GMT. It's the initials of the guys' names. One's named Goodman and one's named Thompson. I forget who M was. But it's their correlation that says that the Mayan calendar reaches this point on December 21st, 2012. The problem with that whole theory is that we now know that the long count has much higher number digits than just the five that are most commonly used.
Mm-hmm.
The longest unit of measure in the Mayan calendar is 63 million years long. We haven't reached one of those yet.
Right.
So how does the calendar, which has this very long unit of measure in it, which we haven't reached one yet, end in 2012?
Okay. I see what you're saying. And
gotcha.
Probably people don't go into this because, there's just so much to it.
Yeah, there is quite a bit
to it. An explanation and everything. So.
Thank you, Guest 12. So they just dropped Johan Normark's website in there. That's a great website for, he goes into great detail on debunking what several of these people say about the Mayan calendar and why what they say is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to get a bunch of links up, too, on the homepage, so I'll have to go back and catch all these.
Right, yes. And I do want to also thank Guest 12 as well for doing that. But, yeah, I mean, in reading the looking at through your website and reading it, I mean, it is like as I said earlier, it's quite extensive. So according to your website, the Mayans had three calendars.
They had three calendars that I talk about. Mm-hmm. There are probably dozens.
Oh, okay.
They had they had calendars that predicted the cycles of Venus. They had calendars that predicted the cycles of the moon. They had several different calendars. The three most commonly used were the Vague calendar, the 365-day calendar, and then they had the I'm not going to try and pronounce these, the calendar that was the religious calendar, which is 260 days long.
Okay.
And then they had the long count calendar. The reason why they had the long count calendar was because they combined the first two, the 365-day calendar and the 260-day calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran simultaneously. So you picked out a date and you said the date by combining the dates from these two different calendars, and that was unique for a 52-year period. So
mm-hmm.
they cycle back around. The combination doesn't repeat again for 52 years. In fact, that was usually pretty good for someone's lifespan because they didn't live that long.
Okay.
The long count calendar was used to reference dates that occurred beyond that time frame. So if you wanted to say, okay, in 100 years, you wouldn't be able to say that with the other calendar, but you would be able to say it with the long count calendar.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. That's very interesting. So, because they had all these, they had all these calendars. I mean, I wonder why they picked. Did they pick the one with the? I think it was the one with the 365 days, the civil calendar. They picked that because that's the calendar we use basically.
It's essentially a solar calendar.
Okay.
Meaning the solar year returns. We know it's not exactly 365 days, which is why we have leap days.
Mm-hmm.
So they use the solar calendar to reference, you know, approximate solar years. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why the claim that the Mayan calendar is more accurate than ours is complete mm-hmm. bunk. They didn't use leap years.
Okay.
So their calendar had an error rate of 1 year or 1 day every 4 years. So
okay,
there's
so
no way that it's more
so
accurate.
So the world
than
is
ours.
Going to end November 31st of this year.
There you go.
So their civil calendar was in essence truly 365 days since they didn't have leap years.
Correct.
Okay. All right, and ours is not quite because we do.
That's right, and the claims that the Mayan calendar is more accurate than ours come from people who are basically indulging themselves in some numerology. They will take it and they'll multiply it by this number and divide it by that number, and oh look, that's the moon cycle, and say, see, it's more accurate than ours. So it's basically just completely bogus. It's not as accurate as ours.
Okay.
Huh.
All right. So because this particular calendar of the Mayans ends supposedly on the winter solstice in 2012, somebody decided or thought that maybe that's when all of civilization is going to end?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is if you have a civilization and you have predicted the end of the world, wouldn't you write about it more than once on one inscription on a building dedication?
Probably, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the number of times that the Mayans referenced that date. It's once. So I don't believe that the Mayans thought that that was the end of the world. As a matter of fact, the scholars who study the Mayan civilization, the Mayan culture, for a living say that that's just completely bogus. There's nothing to it. We have several links to very scholarly resources that basically say the same thing. There's an organization called FAMSI, F-A-M-S-I. It's a Foundation for Mesoamerican Studies. And you can find those links on those web pages about the Mayan calendar on 2012hoax.org. And there's one that goes into excruciating detail. I think it's like a 30-page PowerPoint or something like that
wow.
about why this is completely bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's
now
quite interesting.
Now, aside from the Mayan calendar, has Nostradamus, I heard something about a calendar that Julius Caesar had. Is there other people or groups pointing to this date as well, or is it just the Mayans?
Well, with the caveat that I don't believe that the Mayans actually pointed to this date, there are claims that other people have also pointed to the date, and you will find claims that Nostradamus predicted it, that the Indians predicted it, that the Aztecs predicted it, that the Egyptians predicted it, that the Sumerians predicted it, that the Chinese predicted it. None of that is true. It's all completely bogus. You can't find a reference to 2012 in Nostradamus' writings. It requires some very imaginative interpretation in order to come up with anything, just like any of Nostradamus' quatrains. I have a friend who I met on Yahoo Answers, actually, who compares the Nostradamus people to somebody who fires an arrow into the side of the building and then runs up with a can of paint and paints a bullseye around it. Okay? So Nostradamus made all kinds of very vague statements which can be reinterpreted to mean anything. As a matter of fact, on one of my one of the pages I talk about that, about Nostradamus, and I took one of the quatrains at random, actually one of the ones that had been forwarded to me saying, okay, this predicts the end of the world 2012, and I said, well, actually, this could be a supernova which occurred in 1987, and oh, look, this is George Bush beating Michael Dukakis in the election. That's what that means. And I did that kind of off the cuff and humorously, basically, just to show that, yeah, you can basically twist anything that Nostradamus said to mean anything that you want. The claim that the Chinese predicted it comes from a rather interesting character called... Oh, now I'm drawing a blank. Terence McKenna. Terence McKenna wrote a program that he called Time Wave Zero, which supposedly took the I Ching and ran it through this computer and showed universal novelty. And he could predict the cyclical nature of novelty. And the endpoint that he picked was originally in November, but then he said that he found that there was this other stuff going on around December 21st, and so he kind of fudged the date to match it. But getting back to the I Ching is actually a book on how to tell a fortune. It doesn't actually predict anything.
Right.
You get these little symbols and throw coins and you throw them down and you get the certain line patterns, and that's what it means. And so basically it's supposed to tell you how to tell somebody's fortune for this. So it makes absolutely nothing, no predictions on its own.
Yeah,
when
I saw
Sumerians
that, that
said nothing.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, when I saw that, when I saw the I Ching on your site, I thought, well, what's that doing here? Because that's supposedly a way to tell fortunes. So I went through your website and found it very interesting. But the I Ching, especially because I'd studied it in school and read a few books on it myself, being a little interested and curious. So, but I had no idea that apparently somebody thought this was making a 2012 prediction.
Well, basically, to a 2012 believer, pretty much anything is a 2012 prediction. That's my conclusion after dealing with this for a while. it's sort of like whack-a-mole. The arcade game Whack-A-Mole, the mole pops his head up and you whack it. It's like every time you hit one and knock it down, a couple more pop up. So I'm basically just running around saying no. it's quite interesting sometimes, all the things that people will come up with.
Right. Yeah,
start
absolutely
seeing those cult things come up again.
There are some cult things. There are some groups that are, in particular, some Christian or neo-Christian cults that believe deeply in 2012. There are some that think that 2012 was a government conspiracy to hide the fact that the world's actually going to end in 2011. But so
nice.
It's So it gets down to who do you believe? And you know, I tend to want to go back and look at the sources, and instead of taking somebody's word for it that, you know, the Mayans predicted it, and go find out the real information by going and looking into it and find out, no, they didn't actually predict it, and no, the claim that the calendar doesn't end is not true. And pretty much everything that I found, every time that I get into a claim and I investigate it, it turns out not to be true, or not what the people said. So the way that I really got hooked into this was through some of the other claims, like Planet X and Nibiru, which has got its own interesting little story behind it. Planet X was originally forecast by a gal named Nancy Leader. She started posting to the Psi Astro News Group, Usenet News Group, in 1999, saying that there was this giant planet. It was four times the size of the Earth, and was heading in and was going to come and sweep by the Earth, and the magnetic field of this planet was going to twist the Earth and shift the poles, and there would be massive destruction. And all this was going to happen in 2003.
Hmm.
And so, of course, we're still here, and there has been no planet, and the predictions of Planet X kind of got set aside for a couple years, and then they got picked up again and associated with this whole Mayan calendar 2012 thing. So now we have Planet X and Nibiru coming back in 2012. And being an amateur astronomer, of course, you know, I'd really like to see it. So a lot of people, including myself, have been asking for the coordinates of this thing because, darn it, you know, the first one to find it's going to be famous.
Indeed.
And
time to dig out the telescope.
There you go. The issue is that if there was an object that big that was going to be here in 3 years, we would have been able to see it for the last decade or so. At this point, it would be somewhere around the orbit of Jupiter and would be about as bright as Jupiter, and it would be moving very quickly, so it would be very noticeable. It's not there. There's nothing out there.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd never heard of this Planet X before. I mean, this is. I mean, looking through your website, it's the first time I've actually heard of it. And the Nibiru, you said it's called?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure Nibiru. How to pronounce that either. I've heard of Nibiru and Nibiru and all those things. So, you know. So, you know, there's all kinds of objects that are supposedly kind of come and smack us. I mean, they talk about asteroids and comets and all that kind of stuff. As far as we know, there's nothing that's going to come and hit us, and we have pretty good information out for the next 100 years or so.
Right.
As far as long term, the reason why the NEO program, NEO, Near Earth Object Program, exists at NASA is to go and find these objects so that we can do something about them, find them with enough advance warning, so that if something is going to come and hit us in 100 years or so, that we can give it a little nudge and make it miss.
Mm-hmm.
We know where all the big stuff is, pretty much. The big stuff meaning the objects that are planet killers.
Right.
The ones that are going to be... something like the KT object, the one that hit the Earth about 63 million years ago that coincided with the end of the dinosaurs. We pretty much know where all the big ones are that cross Earth's orbit, big dangerous ones. The research is still ongoing. We know that we haven't found them all. We're also concerned about stuff that might be a little bit smaller. So... you know, an object that's as big as a skyscraper is probably not going to wreck the entire Earth, but it could cause a pretty bad day for somebody in a local region.
Right.
So we're looking for those as well. As a matter of fact, NASA's tracking objects down to a few meters. The NEO project page at NASA tracks objects. The smallest one that I've seen is about 10 meters across. Now, an object that's 10 meters across is actually not going to make it down through the atmosphere, but we're still tracking it just in case. So they're doing a very good job. They're finding these objects. They're tracking them. They're gathering data on them. This is another area where amateur astronomers help out, is that NASA says, okay, we're going to have this object swing by on this date. You know, go look for it. And that's what we do, is we send the data back to NASA, and they use that data to further refine the orbits. So the objects that are going to hit us, I mean, we get hit all day, every day. Matter of fact, the Leonids meter shower is going on right now. I think it peaked early this morning. The Earth gains about 100 tons in rock dust per day, just from the dust that we plow through. So there's stuff that's hitting us all the time. Occasionally we'll see something bigger make it down through. There's nothing big out there that's going to hit us anytime soon. Now, long term, we don't know, but that's why they're looking.
Gotcha. And that's their job, I mean, to look out for stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
Now, I'm going to interrupt just for 1 second, guys, just in case anyone is listening out there. You are listening to Double Talk Radio. Here on TalkShoe, please come join us. If you'd like to call the show, the phone lines are open. 1-724-444-7444. Hit 58563 and then the pound, and we will get you on the line. We're talking 2012 with Bill Hudson. And also with us here tonight is Gartax. And, you know, on the show here, Violet, you know, of course, because you're here every week, and Scotty.
Right.
We've talked about this off and on a few times. And we've all pretty much agreed that this is pretty much a hoax, that we're not buying into it. However, we do think that it may be a time of heightened awareness, which is where I think we need to bring Gartax into the conversation here, because he's fed us some good stuff before, that there are some things happening that maybe, just maybe, it's time we get a wake-up call. Correct?
Right, that's correct.
Yeah. So, yep. Gartax?
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yeah.
I'm not used to you being this quiet.
I'm just listening, man.
You must be interested.
No, I am interested. This is really cool. And I was going through this gentleman's website. It's really interesting stuff. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I wanted to ask you, though, is you've teased us on and off about this thing with the Pope, and that coincided and that coincided with 2012 as well, did it not?
Well, I mean, the only reason why it does so is because of the of Saint Malachi's prediction, which he had a vision of 112 popes from at his time, from his time period, which is somewhere around, I think it's 1143, and he predicted 112 popes and gave signs for these popes. He gave them different names. He didn't give them the name of who they are or what they would be called as, but he gave them symbols or signs. And the reason, you know, behind all this stuff, and the reason why a lot of people are looking possibly maybe as this is one of those things that may corroborate, you know, the 2012 deal, which I really don't believe so. I just believe that this is another one of those coincidences that just follow into it, was that we are currently sitting at out of the 112 that he saw, we are now sitting at 111. And which is really crazy, but all the names that he has mentioned, and we'll go through the last couple of them, just a few, just to kind of get your beak wet on it, is from the time that he saw through the present time at like the 109th
His name was, I don't know if this is correct in Latin, I'm just going to try my best to do all this stuff, is De Mediante Lunae, which means like a half moon. And it's crazy because this pope was unpopular with people, and he lasted only 34 days, which is about one moon's cycle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to be given the name that St. Malachi saw was the half moon and only lasts 34 days, which is about one moon cycle, is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That is. That's strange. So,
well, I actually deal with that on the on the website, the link Seven Reasons, which is an email that was going around, Seven Reasons Why the World Was Going to End in 2012. It got a little extra information added to it somewhere along the way. The prophecy of St. Malachi was first published in 1595.
Right.
So that's quite a bit after St. Malachi. And so what the Vatican historians think is going on was that was published as a way of supporting a particular cardinal for Pope. And what happened was is that if you look at the time that it was published, the predictions up to that point are very on. They're very, very accurate, historically accurate. But the predictions after that point are much vaguer. So what happens is that they think that it was written by a supporter of this Cardinal Bernard in 1595 as a way of supporting him for his bid for being Pope.
Right. Yeah. And he's right on. You know, there were a lot of speculations after that about writings, you know, from that point on.
Huh.
Yeah, it's right here. I'm looking at it.
Right. Let's just get right to the nitty gritty down here. Well, because we're at like 111, which we all know is Pope Benedict, Ratzinger, right? He's the oldest pope that they have ever put into, I don't know, office or whatever it is that he holds. But he's the oldest one that they've ever done. And a lot of people are speculating whether or not they did that on purpose because, you know, they want him to either die off or whatever it is. But anyway, they go into, before they do the smoke out of the chimney and all that stuff, they have to.
I'm losing you every once in a while here.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. The prophecy that Malachi read off was gave for this current pope that we have now. Like I said, he only gave them taglines. He gave him the glory of the olive. Okay. Now he didn't. Now, nobody, of course, is knows this at the time, but when he came out and he pronounced his name as Benedict. He got that from the Benedictine, you know, rule, which previously was a huge deal, and they had a symbol which used an olive branch on their symbol. Okay, now I don't know if he knew that ahead of time or how that works, but it's just crazy that it would sense that this would be the glory of the olive, and then he would pick the name Benedict, which was represented by an olive in its symbol. So, you know, you have that thing. The next pope that they say that is supposed to be around, or the last pope, is Peter the Roman. And so that is yet to be determined, but they say that, you know, that this guy is a pretty old guy. Ratzinger's a pretty old feller, so ain't no telling how long this guy will last. And then they say that would be it. That's where his prophecy ended off, was at 112, which coincidentally, you know, is in this time frame here. They don't know whether or not this guy was going to last long or not, but should be around the year 2012, something like that. So,
wow.
That's crazy to think of.
Just another timbit here for you, folks.
All right, so You know, you really never know. And I never look at it from that perspective. I tend to look at things from a different perspective. I lean more towards biblical prophecy more than I do anything else. And, you know, if you ask me, are we seeing the end of the world? I mean, that's... I would say yes, but it's almost as if we were... you can tell when the things are in an end. Even when you're watching a movie, you can tell when you're getting close to the end of the movie. And that's pretty much where we stand about right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my whole thing of it is that people have thoughts in their heads with these movies that it's going to be, you know, water. I, of course, know in my heart that it will not be water because, like, if you saw the movie, the biggest threat was water. I mean,
right.
Because if everything's underwater, you can't necessarily do anything. But, you know, in the Bible clearly says that God will never flood the earth again. He already did it once. He gave us the rainbow to prove that he would never do it again.
Right.
Right.
But it does say that fire would be a portion of how he would end this earth, you know, the present earth that we're living in. And so, you know, you can go back and forth through it. Numbers in the Bible.
I keep losing you.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
You cut out on me in the good parts.
Okay, I'm sorry. The you know, like I was saying, you can look at biblical numbers. Okay, let's break up 2012. The number 20 in the Bible, because there are different stages. There, you know, number 1, 3 has a very significant number, meaning it's a perfect or concrete, meaning God uses numbers. God the Father, God the Son, Holy Ghost, there were three of those things. So even in the Bible, numbers have a lot to do with things. So significantly, 20 in the Bible means, it means a weight. Okay, it's basically what it means in common terms. It means an expectation, or you're waiting on something. Okay, for example, 20 years Jacob waited to get possession of his wife's property in Genesis 21:38. 20 years Israel waited for the deliverer from Jobab's opinion, Judges 4:3. 20 years Israel waited. There are, you know, 100 things. 20 years the Ark of the Covenant waited. So there are 20s all in this, and all of it represents the time of waiting. Okay, now if you look at the number 12 in the Bible, which is a very common number. We all know that there are 12 disciples. You know, God uses 12 in a lot of different things. But 12, to put very, very, very blunt, let me see where I'm trying to go down and scatter my notes here. 12 is the perfect number, okay? It is the number of perfection. And of course, you know, Jesus used that in picking his 12 disciples. So what it generally means when you're putting it together is waiting on perfection. Okay, or waiting on the perfect. Okay, if you put the two together. Mm-hmm. So if you put 2012 like that, what are you saying?
I lost him again.
Yeah, I lost him too.
Are you there?
Okay, you got a text. We lost probably the last 30 seconds there.
Okay, can y'all hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is about this microphone. Maybe just troubles, but if you put the two together, 20 and 12, waiting on perfection, I really believe that that is what God is saying that we're doing, is that we're waiting for one. And I think that maybe even in present times, God uses present things that are going on in the world today to speak to us. And if 2012 is a big thing, I really think that we need to pay attention to really what is underneath all of that, you know. So waiting on...
Lost you again.
You must have a loop.
Hello?
Check your wire.
I'm checking my wire. Am I good there?
You're good now.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I'm waiting on perfection, and that is Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is what it symbolizes for me when I put the two together. There's only one way this is...
Nope. He cut out again.
Hello?
I'm cutting out, dude.
I'm sorry,
okay.
Guys.
No, it's fine. Okay. That's fine. And that is an awesome point. And I tend to agree with the majority of what Gartex is saying. Now, Bill? What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not one who's much for biblical prophecy. I am a Christian, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are surprised when I say that, because I come across to a lot of people as an atheist. I am not. I attend church every week, but I don't go into the symbology very much of trying to figure out what a particular number means. I acknowledge that the ancient Hebrew and Aramaic writers used a lot of numerology. As a matter of fact, they had no numerals per se. Ancient Hebrews used letters instead of numbers. So every word in Hebrew has a number associated mm-hmm. with it. So I acknowledge that they used a lot of numerology and that numbers meant particular things. I don't really think that we can project that too far forward. I don't know how 20 and 12, especially when it's 2000, not 20, really means that much to us today. And I understand what you're saying. It just doesn't resonate with me.
Right, and I agree too. I mean, but we look at the focus of things. I mean, I look at events or present times, and I really feel that God preaches to me through events that are happening throughout the world, as He did with many things. You know, the Titanic. You can preach off the Titanic forever. You know, there are a lot of biblical truths in that, which had nothing to do with the Bible. But I think that when you look at the perspective and what God sees people are looking at, I think He's trying to speak to that, which He did in the Bible. The only, you know, people had a hard time believing that God existed, and the only way they could see that God existed was, let me see Him, let me touch Him, and let me know that He is here. And He did that, human form. And so I really think that He speaks to people where they're at. And if this is a big deal and people are going to be focused on 2012, I think there are things that God's going to try to say through those things in preaching the same way He did back then, and that is showing people through common events or through certain things. And Jesus spoke through parables all the time. The way He got His message across was using stories or literal things that people could understand from those time periods. And I think from now, the best way I communicate to people is by using current events or using things that God's message through those things. So, you know, I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I'm saying when I looked at 2012, I put the 20 and I would put the 12, and I looked at what they meant to me. And I said, you know what? I am waiting on perfection. I'm waiting on the perfect one to come here. And it could be any day. To me, 2012 or what 2012 could be tomorrow. You know, for all I know, because He says no man knows the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. So it could be tomorrow, the next day. It could be, you know, December 22nd of that year. Nobody knows when it's going to end. So that's the point that I stand on. My deal is just to be ready whenever it happens.
Well, absolutely, and I agree with that. My caution or my fear is that using this date, and I had this debate with another person online recently. It's actually called me out basically for a debate and then said that he agreed with 90% of what I said, which is kind of interesting. But basically, this date has so much fear associated with it right now, especially in the minds of young people, that I'm real careful about not wanting to instill more fear.
Which is actually pretty smart, especially with young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the things that we should do, or that people who are listening to this should do, is to go to the website and go to the forums on the website and just look at the number of kids who are writing in who are just absolutely terrified. I had people emailing me off of the website basically saying, you know, I'm so scared, I'm thinking about ending my life, I'm 12.
Wow.
And, you know, mm-hmm. it just breaks my heart. There's one of our contributors goes by the name of Posh Ninja on the website. Her niece, who I think was 8 at the time, was so traumatized, and she's still traumatized by all these stories. So I agree that using 2012 as a starting point could be valuable, but I have to be real cautious about what that whole date now carries with it as far as fear factor for these kids. And like I said, I first got into this because kids who are in elementary school, fifth graders, 8, 9, 10 years old, are coming up to me and with, you know, eyes brimming full of tears, is the world going to end in 2012? I saw it on TV. The world is ending in 2012, isn't it? So I just am real cautious about that.
Now, do you think that maybe some of these kids are getting some of their information maybe from their parents who, I hate to use the word paranoid, but I guess it's really the only word I can use. What a lot of parents don't realize is children are very, very aware of what their parents are talking about, even though they may not be, they might be whispering to each other, but, you know, kids seem to hear everything. Do you think that maybe they're overhearing conversations between parents or family or parents and their parents' friends, and maybe not quite understanding exactly what they're talking about, but just getting the main, the parts that they do understand and then making it bigger than it is?
Well, I'm not sure where all of it's coming from. I think at this point it's pretty much taken on a life of its own, and mm-hmm. it's being passed word of mouth, kid to kid, basically.
Right.
A lot of the places where they get their information is places that are not reputable, so like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that might be going on is, you know, it used to be that the History Channel had actual documentaries about history, you know, the Civil War or, mm-hmm. you know, the fall of the Roman Empire. But now
right.
they've gotten into producing these just awful, apocalypse week type things,
yeah.
predictions of Nostradamus, is the world going to end, you know, did Nostradamus predict 9/11, and he said something about 2012, and you know, perhaps they're hearing that, whereas the parents, you know, might watch that and say, oh, that's just complete bull.
Right.
And the kids are not that discriminating. They're not able to think that critically about that information.
Right. Or maybe the parents are going, oh my goodness, you know, maybe the parents are believing what they're seeing on the History Channel or on Discovery or, you know.
Yeah, that could be true. I have to say that most of the people that I'm dealing with are younger. I would say under 20.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who are
right.
Older actually believe it as well,
mm-hmm.
but I would say that the majority of them are under 20.
Hmm.
Oh, no, that's
so you take kind of by faith what you think.
But you know, I'm sure that there are people definitely who are older who do believe in this.
Oh sure.
Obviously, because they've got those websites where they're asking for $37 membership fees.
Well, now that one in particular, I think is not someone who believes it. I think that's someone who's just cashing in on it.
Exactly. But,
yeah.
but I think he realizes there are people out there who,
oh, yeah.
you know.
That's the ghost
well,
of
sure.
Billy Mays.
Yeah, it sounds like Billy Mays, doesn't it?
It sure
this
does.
Thing's worth $300, but if you order today only, I'll give it to you for the low price of
$49.95. Yep.
No, but I can understand where your concern is about children, because children do, like you said, they're not very discriminating in their thinking, and they do have a tendency to get scared, especially when they don't really understand all the facts. For example, like what you're giving in your website and things like that.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I try and keep the website not too highbrow, because I understand that a lot of younger people are reading through it. I mean, there are places where I have to go into great detail, but
right.
You'll notice that I buried a lot of the more technical links down in the bibliography at the bottom and try and interpret them, because I anticipate that most of the readership is going to be people between the ages of, say, I don't know, 10 and 20.
But you still do. I mean, you know, there are some parts of it where you just can't simplify it any more than you already have because of the topic, and
yeah, and you kind of have to get to the point where, you know, I understand that argument from authority is not a real valid way of going about things, but you know, a lot of times people will accept that. So, for example, on the magnetic pole shift page, I talk about it a bit. I talk about why I don't think it'll happen, and then I start throwing a bunch of scholarly links on it, and you know, links to the NOVA special called Magnetic Storm, a link to the Professor Glatzmeyer's page about how long it takes the magnetic pole to actually change directions. You know, talk about solar flares. I link to solar scientists. I link to the SOHO satellite webpage. So, at some point, I have to give the information. I have to say this is what the experts are saying. And
right.
Yes, that is an argument from authority, but you know, I'm not an authority. I'm just trying to convey the information.
Right. Right. And I think your website does a very good job of that, of doing that. But you know, I wonder why. Sometimes I wish that there would be kind of, you know, how on the History Channel and or on Discovery Channel they have these shows about, you know, the end of the world. You know, I kind of wish that they would also have shows on the other side of it, disproving all the other stuff that they're showing.
Yeah, and they kind of sort of give a little bit of a nod in that direction. And
yeah, they do
a
little bit.
You know. They will have, you know, somebody talking there, you know, Daniel Pinchbeck talking for 15 minutes, and then they'll bring on, you know, the expert, and he gets, you know, 5 seconds. but the thing is that there people, especially younger people, still believe that if it's on TV or if it's on the web or if it's in print, it's got to be true. I mean,
right.
If it wasn't true, the government
right.
would shut it down, right? Why? I got that question today, as a matter of fact. Somebody emailed me and says, if this is all just a big lie, how come the government doesn't come out and say it's all just a big lie and shut them down?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it gets into the freedom of speech.
Right.
So that actually came from a 12-year-old. So they had seen a lot of the videos, basically slices of some of the History Channel, call them mockumentaries,
right.
on YouTube, that basically said the world is ending in 2012 with no disclaimer, and the kids, if this is a lie, how come the government doesn't shut them down?
Right.
So there's that to contend with. The just the whole credibility thing, especially when you are a young person and it's everywhere. It's all over the place. You type in 2012 into a search engine, and I doubt that my site will show up on the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth page. It's probably back there around page 10. there is so much of it out there, so many links to bad information, and somebody looking for the facts is going to have a hard time.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's more interesting to think about the world possibly ending than it all being, you know, another one of those Y2K type of deals. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, speaking of disclaimers, you know, one of the reasons why I think I mentioned to you that I was not going to go see the movie. One of the reasons is because of the way that they marketed it. They decided to do this whole viral marketing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was the first thing that I saw about the movie 2012? It was an advertisement for the IHC, Institute for Human Continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The Institute for Human Continuity has been protecting you for generations, and, you know, we're preparing for the end of the world and joining our lottery. they had no disclaimer.
Mm.
There was nothing on there that said this is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now later they added one at the very end of that whole thing. It says this movie has not yet been rated. But when it first came out, there was nothing there.
Okay.
Then people were seeing this. They were going onto the IHC website and signing up for the lottery to survive the end of the world.
Oh, jeez.
Wasn't the director involved in that too?
I don't know if the director was involved in that decision or not.
But most likely the movie company, the movie that made the film was the company.
Yes, Sony and Columbia. So,
so in other words, they were trying to turn it into another War of the Worlds type of thing.
Oh, yeah. And so basically they were selling movie tickets by scaring people to death.
Wow. See, I had no idea about that.
War of the Worlds Part 2. Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. The modern day War of the Worlds. But, I mean,
now,
if they
pulled that off, that would have been scary. Could you imagine, you know, how much of an impact War of the Worlds made in, what was it, the 50s that it was originally aired?
Something like that, yeah.
Now the way the communication and the way things get out on the internet with all the different venues and on television with cable and satellite, could you imagine if it worked, the impact that would have on frightening people?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you remember the Heaven's Gate cult,
mm-hmm,
they all committed suicide because there was a comet.
Right.
We
Hale
were
Bob
actually
comet.
Speaking of them the other night. Yeah, the Hale-Bob comet. Yeah, we were speaking
right, so
about
they said
a couple nights ago.
There's a spaceship following the comet. We're going to ascend. So they all killed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
freedom of speech is great, but there has to be some responsibility for it as well. And I think that whoever decided to do this particular viral marketing ploy stepped over a line.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Because, I mean, you know, there are, I think there are more people out there who are kind of on the thought like, oh, you know, this whole thing with the 2012 doomsday, you know, this is all going to be another Y2K. But you have that small minority that probably believes in this and is probably shaking in their boots going, what am I going to do?
Well, then we have.
Let me tell you, there's people that I talk to on the street that actually believe this Mayan calendar stuff and believe the world is going to end. They believe it's valid. They believe in science, and they think it's going to happen.
I do have to admit that at first I did believe in it too, but you know, I mean, after some thought and going, okay, wait a minute, let's calm down here a little bit.
So what
turns
you around?
I just came to my senses. I mean, I don't know. I just thought, I woke up one morning and going, okay, this is crazy. This is all just ridiculous. And, you know, I don't think that, and then, of course, you know, more of it came out when I started looking at your website.
I never bought into it.
But no. I wasn't at the point where I was going to buy a survival guide. Let's put it that way. I wasn't that.
Hey guys.
Then we have what's his name? Balloon Boy's dad. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Scotty?
He concocted that whole hoax of.
Oh God.
He concocted the hoax of.
He told the media that his son was on that balloon he released from his backyard, and
right.
Basically that was a ploy to interest somebody in doing a reality show so that he could make money
right.
to dig a bunker because he believed
really?
In 2012.
See, I didn't know. I knew that it was all a hoax to get, you know, to get on another reality show, but I didn't realize it was to make money for a bunker.
I thought it was coinciding with the release of the Disney movie Up, and it was a big production scandal. That's what I thought.
That would have been funny. Yeah, that would have been great. I typed in 2012, and I haven't come up to Bill's site yet. But I found one that says 2012 is not the end of the world. Mayan elder insists. It's from the UK. I think I ran across this the other day.
Yeah, actually, that article, the original version of that article is linked on our Mayan prediction page.
Yeah, it's a pretty thorough page. I mean, if you want to go through a lot of stuff and save yourself some time surfing, folks, I highly recommend going to this page. 2012hoax.org. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of good stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, no, thank you. It's definitely not just, you know, it's, like I said, I found it fascinating because it was just so thoroughly researched. So,
indeed,
you know.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And everything's backed up. I mean, obviously, because you've got your bibliography and, you know, links that that link to other sites and things like that. So.
Yeah, and I tried to make it links that people could access online and read for themselves. There's a lot more stuff that I could use. So I try not to link to stuff that people have to go to the library to find.
Right.
But. I try to make it all links that are at least sites that people can get to. And I do try and be real responsible about making sure that the stuff is up to date. And if I receive information that something that I've said is wrong, I will in fact take it down. I did that the other day. I had a link up that basically claimed that a certain person was a proponent of 2012, and somebody said, no, they're not. And I couldn't prove otherwise. The site that I had apparently gotten the information from was not authorized by this person, and so I took it down.
Cool.
So I am very responsive to that kind of thing. And the other thing that's going on is we now have a community of people who basically hang out in the forums there and answer questions, which is really cool. I was doing that by myself for a while. We got a few other people involved, and now there are more and more people basically just joining up. And the other thing about this site that I wanted to mention is it's a wiki. And that means that anybody who signs up for an account with Wikidot, which is free, so wikidot.com, anybody who signs up with an account for them can access the page and actually update the page. And I'd love to have more authors and more contributors.
Okay, well, people, you hear that.
There you go. There's an invitation to join. There you go, folks.
And it's free to join because I joined and I paid no money.
Yeah, no $39.99. No one-way ticket out of here.
Yes, today only. We'll give it to you for free. But you got to call in the next 10 minutes.
There you go.
Now,
you heard it
now,
first
Bill,
here, folks.
So if
have your credit card ready.
Now, from your tweets on Twitter, I understand that people give you information as well. So when somebody gives you information, then of course you're going to go check it. You're going to fact check it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I figured
a lot of the times the information that I receive on Twitter is articles about stuff that I already have, and I may turn around and retweet that. I may turn around and add it to the links page. I may just say, yeah, I've already talked about that for quite a bit, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But the links page in particular on the site has just grown exponentially. And you'll notice a definite slant towards sites that are run by astronomical associations. Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer, University Today, the Bad Astronomy University Today forums, you know, Astronomy Cast, I just added those yesterday. The links, which are two podcasts dealing with topics around 2012. NASA websites, Pseudoastronomy, that's written by a graduate student in astronomy, that particular blog. So I try and slant it towards people who are scholarly, who have the scientific chops. And I don't know if I mentioned, I am not a scientist. I'm an amateur. I'm an amateur astronomer. I don't do this for a living. I have a day job.
Right. And you say that on the website.
Yeah. So I just have a driving interest in this because of my exposure to these kids.
Right. Right. which I think is great. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, kids do scare easily, and without the proper facts, and a lot of adults who have kids don't have the proper facts. So, because they are watching Discovery Channel and the shows on the History Channel, and that's where they're getting their facts from.
Now, yeah, Bill, did your kids come to you at some point with a concern?
Actually, no. My two oldest daughters, my oldest daughter is 14, and my second oldest is 12. They're both amateur astronomers as well.
Mm.
And so they're actually, we have a family membership to the Fremont Peak Observatory.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I mentioned that somewhere on the website as well, probably under the About Me page. FPOA.net, if people are interested in where I do most of my observing from. But they're both certified to run the Challenger telescope, which is a 30-inch Newtonian reflector, which if
wow.
If you guys are at all familiar with astronomy, that's pretty big. Permanently mounted on a mountaintop here just outside of San Juan Bautista, we get really dark skies. So they're both exposed to science and critical thought, and neither of them came to me and said, I'm scared about this. My older daughter came to me a couple of times after I got into this and said, you know, I heard so-and-so talking about it, and I told her to go to your website. But no, neither of them became concerned about it.
Now, do they come home and say maybe they've heard their peers at school talking about it and talking about their fears?
Yes.
So they get a lot of that?
They do get a lot of that.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. So it's a good thing they have your daughters are in school and can, you know, debunk their fears.
Now, have you, Bill, been asked to speak at all, like, anywhere? Or, like, has this taken you anywhere else other than the website itself?
Basically, my focus has been on the website, and one of the things that I hoped would happen from this is that other amateur astronomers would be able to use the website as a resource to talk to people, say, in their local libraries or wherever. And I have had some feedback that has happened a couple of times, and I hope that it's happening more than I'm being told about. I do cover... in my regular astronomy talks in elementary schools and middle schools, I do cover 2012 briefly, and I say, basically, this is all a bunch of baloney. don't be concerned about it. There's nothing out there. Planet X doesn't exist. Nibiru doesn't exist. There's no comet coming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, how about this? Is the astronomy world the right word? Are you getting any resistance from it? Like, is astronomy pretty much on board with saying this is all a bunch of junk, or are you getting anyone in your field going against it?
I have never heard of another amateur astronomer who's basically saying that he can... prove that Nibiru exists or Planet X exists or that there's going to be a galactic alignment. Pretty much from my experience, it's 100% on my side, basically. I have heard some people make claims. So we had someone leave a note on the forum the other day, for example, that said, I have the coordinates for Planet X, and he gave us the coordinates for the... what was it? Turned out to be the nebula in Orion.
Oh, wow.
Some astronomer.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
All right. Wow.
Well, but, I mean,
Orion is dangerous.
Well, I mean, if there is such a thing as a Planet X, I mean, I'm sure NASA would have seen it by now, for sure.
Well,
somebody
yeah,
out
like
there
described-
would have.
Like I described before, there is a distinct possibility that there are other planets out there beyond the ones that we know about, out there in the outer reaches of the solar system. They are going to be small, and they're going to be light, and they're going to be very, very, very far away. The most recent ones discovered have orbital periods on the order of several thousand years, and they never, ever, ever come into the inner solar system.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fun things I do on when I do these astronomy talks is I try and give people an idea of how amazingly far apart things are. So, for example, in the solar system, if we had a model of the solar system, the sun was a meter across, so basically a yard across, the first planet would be Mercury, and
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't get to it until you went about a half a football field away.
Okay.
And it would be the size of a head of a pin. It's very small, very far away, and by the time you get out to Earth, you know, you're talking close to a quarter mile. It's just amazingly spread out.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that the people who think that these objects exist is there's absolutely no evidence. And if they were out there, there should be. Even things like a large object that's orbiting way out there in the outer reaches of the solar system, something the size of Jupiter or better, should show up in the motions of the inner planets, and it doesn't. So that means that it's either much farther away than they think, or it's not there. So there's an amazing amount of information that can be used to disprove some of these claims. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I try and do with the website, is I try and tackle specific claims. And I don't just say it's not going to happen. I try and say this claim is incorrect because, you know, this evidence that they claim is incorrect. So.
Okay. All right.
Well.
So yeah, Dr. Jason Rand believes that Planet X is hiding behind the sun. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess Gary says in the chat room. Yeah, Dr. Jason Rand. Dr. Rand is a doctor in something called Energy Informative Sciences, which is a degree that I've never heard of before I ran into him, issued by a college in Russia, which is the only college that offers this degree. And it's honorary. I think his actual training is in physiology or something. But he believes that Planet X is hiding behind the sun, which means that it would be in the same orbit as Earth, which means that we should be able to see it on the SOHO satellites, which we can't, so it's not there.
Yeah, if it was that big, we'd certainly be able to... And there would probably be some sort of an eclipse at some time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right.
The SOHO satellite, or excuse me, I'm giving you the wrong satellite name, the STEREO satellites, these are satellites that we sent out, one ahead of the Earth and one behind the Earth, to basically study the sun and study sunspots.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the only spot in the solar system that we can't see from Earth is behind the sun. But now we can see behind it because of these two satellites that are out there.
Ah, okay.
So there's nothing there. Dr. Rand was pretty much ripped in a Penn and Teller episode on their show, which I link on the website as well. You can actually see him and see his rather comical explanation for what's going on.
Yeah, I did see those links to their show on Showtime.
Yeah,
so I haven't watched them, but I'm going to because I do like Penn and Teller. So,
well, you have to take them with a little bit of grain of salt. There, I don't embed those videos for a reason.
Right,
they're a little bit raunchy sometimes, but yeah. So, none of the claims of any of the people that are based on astronomical evidence are true. None of the claims that I can find of anybody that's based on evidence of ancient knowledge, Egyptians or Mayans or Sumerians or anything like that, none of that is true. So basically I'm still left looking for some actual theory that has something behind it. So that's basically where it sits.
Okay. Well, it I mean, it's all very interesting. Your website is incredibly interesting, and you know, somebody who's a layperson like me, definitely found it interesting to read as well. So, you know, I highly recommend to a lot of people, especially a lot of people who are kind of on the cuff about this whole 2012 doomsday thing, to definitely take a look at the website. And again, that is www.2012hoax.org. And there's a lot of great deal of information on there, and I definitely recommend reading it and educating yourself a lot more.
Or if you want to be just like me and sound really smart at a party. You'll come off like a genius, folks. Trust me.
Yep.
It works.
Hey, you can drop Bill's name now.
Indeed, I can.
Nope.
You know, we should have had we had a psychic on the show a few weeks back, Bill, and we should have had Dorothy on the show to see if she was seeing any, whatever the heck she was, colors she was seeing across the ocean. To that would have been cool.
Well, I think
we
covered
most
of the major. I think we covered most of the major claims, real briefly anyway.
Right.
I think the only one we really didn't talk about in detail was the alignments, and basically those are all bogus too. Some of the interesting things come out of kind of the New Agey type beliefs as well. They talk about, you know, Age of Aquarius, we're all going to ascend, we're all going to achieve a higher plane of consciousness. Jose Arguelles, which is another interesting character that I cover on the website, is actually in New Zealand recruiting people to create a psychic rainbow bridge between the poles of the Earth in preparation for our induction into galactic citizenship in 2012.
Wow.
My Lord.
So,
now that's
how do we get on that?
That one
yeah.
didn't come to me.
Wow, these almost sound like some of these people almost sound like cult leaders or wannabe cult leaders.
Yeah, some of these do a pretty good job of refuting themselves. So it's
well, now here's a different maybe take on it. Now, don't you think that you know? Of course, Bill is mentioning that is the majority that are scared are in that age group of 10 to 20. If someone was heading up some sort of a cult, and you know how crazy and psycho these people can be, this would be the perfect opportunity for them to pounce.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right now.
Absolutely.
It really would be. And I'm surprised, actually, there's not more.
Well, there's probably some of that going on that we don't know about.
Right. I was just going to say that. There's probably small little groups that are starting up that we haven't heard of yet.
Well, you know,
get on that, Scott. I want to know about it.
Oh, what did
You can imagine.
I was looking for Bill's site, and I found. I'll have to go back.
You're still looking for Bill's site? It is not that hard to find. I have a link on the homepage.
I went through
Yahoo.
For gosh
sakes, you don't have to Google it, Scott.
I found his website on page 14.
Oh, wow.
But there was. Yeah, 2012churchofdoom.com.
Wow.
The best place to prepare for 2012 information you need to physically, mentally, and financially arm yourself for the coming upheaval.
That's interesting.
Oh, goody. So you can imagine some of these groups, you know, they dig their bunker, they go into the compound, and of course, the group Peter doesn't want to let them go afterwards, so he says, yeah, the
right.
world did end. We have to wait for 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
My
God. Yeah, that's the frightening thing about that, about this whole thing as well. You know, for those who are in that, I hate to call it business, but business of, you know, of kind of controlling other people. Yeah.
Hey, it'd be a good time to be in the lumber industry or in construction.
Well, there's one site that was basically selling like camping supplies, and he renamed his business to 2012 Supplies or something like that, and apparently he's doing a bang up business selling, you know, dehydrated foods and canned goods and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
I did see one girl on the net, and I don't have the link to share with you, but she is making a fortune selling kits.
Oh yeah.
Preparing for 2012. Yeah. I don't know if I saw it on the news first and she had a website, or I saw it when I was surfing one day, or caught it on MSN, or I saw it somewhere one day though, and yeah, that's another thing. It's probably, as we get closer, perhaps we'll see more of that.
Well, there are a lot of people making a lot of money off of this. You know, we can basically go down the list. We have Daniel Pinchbeck, who's appearing on all these things, who's selling books right and left. We have the guys behind these websites, like you know, the Official Countdown and, you know, 20-12 Contact and all that, who are selling these books for $15 a pop. We have Marshall Masters, who's got a whole big thing of videos that he's selling. Patrick Garrell, selling books right and left. He's trying to get his $1 billion to build his compound.
Oh my goodness.
People are cashing in as far as, you know, join my meditation group and I'll show you how to mentally prepare for survival, you know, in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Just there's a ton of them out there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that one I was reading earlier, I mean, you know, I had a laugh when I saw, you know, that how much it was to pay for the membership, and then I realized that, you know, it was a another con, so to speak.
Yeah, that particular one, when I first read that was funny, because it was like, I was reading through the page, and I got down to the part where he was like going down the list of how much this is worth and how much he's offering and offering, and I had this image of Billy Mays.
Good old Billy, I love him.
Well,
the ShamWow guy, there he is.
You know, and there are some strange things happening that I've been checking off my list that. You know, that I must admit I was getting perhaps a little bit concerned at first, because that the end of the world was coming, and you know, certain things are happening in the world today as we speak, like Ellen DeGeneres becoming a co-host on American Idol.
Okay.
The Canadian dollar is actually becoming par with the American dollar, right? Equal buying value. The Lions actually. The Detroit Lions actually won a football game this year.
Isn't that one of the 25 signs of the end?
It is, and my favorite, of course, is a closet Taliban psycho comes to office. Just kidding,
wow.
You folks. I had to get some humor in there.
Well, I mean, it's all rather humorous.
Well, but there's this undercurrent of tragedy, or at least potential tragedy, so... You know, as far as what to do, you know, there are a growing number of sites out there that are debunking it. There's a growing awareness in the news industry, the news media, especially places like Discovery Science, that this is an issue. And so there are more and more articles being written about it. And, you know, you don't have to be going out there and... writing articles or starting a blog or anything like that. Just going out and getting on some of the social networking sites like Dig or StumbleUpon or something like that, and, you know, finding these and marking them up so that people can find them easier, so that they show up higher in the search engines. You know, throwing links to 2012hoax.org or any of the other sites, anywhere that you can,
mm-hmm.
Helps improve their ranking, so maybe we can move from page 14 to page 13.
Right. Right.
Page 14, that's sad.
Now,
that
do you have
sad.
Anything on YouTube or anything like that, or are you just strictly just the website?
I'm starting a YouTube thing. I've put one video on there that was my half of that debate with that guy.
Uh-huh.
His name was 2012 Rising on Twitter, but I've forgotten what his name was on YouTube. But yeah, there's a 2012 hoax YouTube channel now. I haven't linked to it because there's only that one video on there yet. I'm planning on putting some others on there. I'm actually targeting a couple of people that I want to say, you know, these guys are full of it. But So I just don't have the time.
Right.
It's taking me a little bit to get that up and running.
Right. But you're hoping to eventually get that done so that, you know,
I'm hoping to have... I'm hoping as a present to my friend Kay, who's on the channel right now, or at least was, she wanted me to do Daniel Pinchbeck first, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I see Katie did there. She's one of my partners in crime as well.
Yes, I did see her name on your website.
So, she asked me to do Daniel Pinchbeck first, so I'm trying to get something together on him, basically taking some clips from him talking in one of the Hysteria channels, mockumentaries, and showing basically what he's saying and what the real truth is. He's kind of an interesting character. He kind of rambles on and on. If you listen to him, pretty much everything is related to 2012. So.
All right. Well.
Hey. Wow.
But you'll probably. I'm sure you'll mention that once you get that up and running. You'll mention that on your website, correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
Bill does Pinchbeck. Yes, I hope to do Pinchbeck, Gary. So.
Okay. Well, we are reaching the top of the hour. I hate to end this. I'm having a good time. I'm learning a lot. We will continue on the flip side for anyone who wants to join us for a little bit, but we do have to end the show. I would like to thank everybody that came out to listen tonight. You are of course listening to Double Talk Radio. Especially would like to thank Bill Hudson for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure,
and we enjoyed it. Hopefully we can get you out here again. Get a little bit more educated, and we can talk some more about some of this stuff. The closer we get to this impending doom, as some people believe. Gartex, who was with us but had some technical difficulties, and to all our first-time guests who came along, we really appreciate you joining us, as always. Be sure to check out the homepage at doubletalk.bigbig.com. We will be back on the air again Sunday with the wrap-up at 9 p.m. Eastern. So until then, for those of you listening, want to join us on the flip side in the after chat, please do. And those of you listening live or on download, thanks very much again. Until next time, this is Double K sending you off with this end of time song. Violet, you want to say bye?
Yes, good night, everybody, and thank you for listening, and those for downloading, thank you very much. And we'll see you Sunday.
Scotty, did you find the website yet?
For
we'll check,
what?
We'll check in on Sunday, folks. Scotty is splitting his time tonight between trying to find Bill's webpage and taking the cat out. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I've been quite troubled with that.
Okay, good night, guys. Folks. Take care and good night.
Bye, everyone.
See you later, folks. OMG.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. The eye of a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Sharon World says its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Speed it up and not speed. The world.